Jeg har kjent han i mange, mange år. Og en gang i tida, han enda det med for 15 år siden, i Delsdal, da hadde jeg et meditasjonssenter i Oslogata. Og da kom denne her unge kvinnen fra Holland og inn, og det var helt klart at vi hadde en connection. Jeg har ikke hatt kontakt med Ananda for en del år, men jeg har fulgt med på sidelinja, og jeg må si det at det er ganske forbløffende hva han har inni sitt hode. Det er et levende leksikon. Som jeg sier til han, det av og til er det veldig vanskelig å forstå hva han sier. Dette her er high-tech, men veldig, veldig, veldig interessant. Og vi planlegger vel egentlig å kunne ha en kongress på fjellet i sommer. Men det vil jo, det vil anbefale alle å skrive seg på en e-mail-liste, sånn at man kan få sendt ut informasjon om ting som foregår. Det er veldig lurt, for man annoterer ikke så mye i aviser, sånn. Det er litt sånn inside information. Men dere kan glede dere til denne stunden, og jeg bare gir, I give the stage to you, Ananda. You're very welcome.
Spirit with Andromedean resonations. Much work ahead in Scandinavia as we've seen it some years ago. We will be engaged in further cooperative efforts, as Lily mentioned, including some kind of Andromedean schooling, where we will be presenting very specific information individually, together, in bigger congresses, in themes that advance the particular topics we're looking at. Today, we're going to be looking at the cosmic. Tomorrow, we'll be looking at the personal effects of the present transformations sweeping our species. And on Sunday, we'll be looking at the machinery behind the 2012 myth and beyond, and the social projects we're working with global musicians, with new harmonics, the harmonic revolution, using music, harmonics, DNA harmonics in music, which grew at the same time, to enfold the global transition and send a signal back out into space. But that's Sunday. Over the last years, we've been in the midst of an extraordinary review of our reality. We have 49 slides here. I suppose we're going to get about half of them. We speak quickly. And before we begin, we should say, all that we say should not be taken too seriously. These are suggested paradigms. Truth is plural. And everyone has a unique truth to contribute to this reality. These are suggested paradigms. And much of this you can see in the public domain. Just in August this year, confirmations are something we've been speaking about since at least 1988 have come out in the mainstream, that our universe is bumping into another universe, and that this other universe is transmitting information into our universe that is changing our universe. They found a giant hole, say, in the universe. Numerous of these holes have been found, but never one this big. This particular hole is in the region of Eridanus, near Orion, and is not properly understood, except that it is believed to be a bumping into a neighboring universe. In terms of the new universe, as we've been presenting it, years before the Americans developed here in Norway, it took at least 7 years before the Americans would catch up with some of the themes that we're presenting. the themes of global warming on the planets of the solar system, and the transformation of our galaxy. The concepts are simple. There is a new energy that has been detected by astrophysicists all over the world, of new cosmic rays with an energy possible to produce in our universe by any known source, which are directed like lasers. And then, in our solar system, and primarily in our galaxy, a second energy source, second greatest energy source in the universe, gamma rays, have switched on in 1994 in an organized manner, a manner never seen before in terms of the organization, the geometry of time. And these gamma rays, in turn, have acted like lasers on our sun, on our solar system, affecting global warming and energy doubling of the whole solar system, and affecting the human DNA, as we will explore in an objective manner, affecting the laws of physics. These ultra-high order cosmic and gamma rays aimed at our solar system during the mid-1990s have created a 7-minute time shift on Saturn. Perhaps we'll come to the slides that document that. Saturn has become illuminated with new aurora borealis, bright lightning, and energy emissions of X-rays. Jupiter has undergone a 200% increase in brightening in the last 13 to 14 years. Strange anomalies have appeared on Jupiter, and there's been global warming appearing on its moons, especially Ganymede, with oxygen signatures. With the planet Neptune, there's been a 49% increase in its brightening since the mid-1990s. Suddenly, the planet Neptune has undergone unprecedented energy impulses that have increased its brightening, as Hubble Space Telescope has charted. Uranus has undergone 40% increase in luminosity. Both Neptune and Uranus have shifted their poles, and the cloud density has undergone 50% increase. Pluto has undergone a 300% increase in atmospheric density. Even though it's furthest away from the Sun, Pluto is undergoing global warming. How does Al Gore fit into that?
Yeah.
There must be lots of Shell stations in Pluto. And I'm sure on Mars, which is undergoing unprecedented global warming, as we'll see, the poles have melted in a matter of months. They must be really spraying the VO, the odorant, the Martians. Recently, scientists have documented that other solar systems are undergoing global warming surrounding our own solar system. So there is an interstellar global warming. There's an interstellar energization going on. Enormous increase in these cosmic rays, the highest energy is how they look, creating things like tsunamis, as we will show. There is a region of convergence between galaxies. Now, our own input into this initially was luminous. We were a teenager, we weren't going into science, we were contactees. And as contactees, over the years, we went into investigation research with colleagues, scientists all over the world. We were told that our galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy had a link from the far future, a time travel link. Sounds quite far-fetched these days, still as of yet, but things are changing. Recently, scientists have found that there is a grid between our galaxy and the local group of galaxies, a diamond group, which is drawing galaxies along with it. And our neighboring galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, is part of this grid of galaxies. And in fact, our galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy are drawing towards each other. And in the future, it will be the number one emergency. How do we heal as civilizations of this galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy with a galactic convergence? The answer has been time machines to go back in time. Some of these are UFOs. Remember, we're saying don't take us too seriously, therefore we can say outrageous things. About 7 years after we received this information, scientists began to document that, in fact, our galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy are converging, and they will converge in about 2.2 million years, completing 2.2 billion years. Now, as soon as we invent a time machine that works practically, and we're very close to it, we have colleagues that have made the patents, Eric Trell in Sweden, for instance, and Dr. Rogero Centilli. Once these space-time machines, hadronic space-time machines, are operating, it's no longer a question of millions of years. It's a question of getting the harmonic coordinates of traveling. Just as now we take holidays across the world with airplanes, which was considered almost impossible by horse and carriage, so the space-time machines of the future, which are just around the corner, are part of a convergence of the galaxies. And the energy inputs that are now coming into our solar system are part of that convergence, because there is something that is drawing our galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, and other galaxies towards it. This is called the strange attractor field of Centaurus. It is a very strange region that is swallowing it up, about 150,000 galaxies per minute, swallowing them up. And our galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy is being drawn towards this. Galaxies just disappear, as if it were to be a stargate. Dimensional gate. This is the geometry of the intergalactic highways discovered by the NASA COBRA space satellite in the late 1990s, which shows that there is a geometrical order, a fourth dimensional order, called a heterodynamic lattice that organizes our local galaxies. It is this organizational order that appears to have extra-temporal or time-traveling signatures in it. Dr. Jack Sarfetti, in his physics essay available at stardrive.org, analyzing these strange anomalies seen in the cosmic background radiation, that is the radiation of our galaxy, is grounded in, and our planet is grounded in the solar system, is grounded practically in that galaxy. The ground, the interstellar ground, has a series of strange thermal radiation ripples that are organized in such a fashion that they appear to be operating as if they were a deja vu from the future, to put it poetically. As Dr. Sarfetti says, thermal radiation ripples observed by the COBRA satellite could be intelligent and created artifacts from the future, possibly from a civilization derived from us. There is a reverse time signature clearly apparent in this thermal anomalies. And from these thermal anomalies are coming these ultra-high order cosmic rays and gamma rays observed by science to be transforming our own solar system and planet in a phenomenal way. It's happening now. There are objects by the sun that appear to be changing the sun. In 1997 January, in the analysis of the galactic background noise, a new signature came into the galaxy. From that point onwards, phenomenal changes started to occur to our solar system. But before, in 1994, suddenly an internet over the galaxy of geometrical gamma rays switched on. We say internet from Dr. Frank Smith from Los Alamos National Laboratories. He calls the 24 tetrahedrons, a three-dimensional, three-sided pyramid that is arranged as these gamma rays of the galaxy are operating very similar to the internet. They are hyper-indexed. In our solar system, is right in cross points of these gamma rays. They are pulsing at the same rate all over the whole galaxy, pulsing in synchrony, in harmony, in intelligence. This is the highest energy you can imagine. If one of these lasers were aimed in the wrong way at Earth, the Earth would go boom. The analysis suggests that this could be a network of communicating extraterrestrial intelligence. Again, Dr. Smith, Los Alamos National Laboratories. There is an isogeometry, that is, a geometry of tetrahedrons following not a three-dimensional geometry, but a four-dimensional geometry. In other words, a hypercubic array. A hypercube is a fourth-dimensional cube where every face is undergoing a Felix flying off, let's say, fourth-dimensional Mobius strip. A phenomenology found in nature and operating in quantum computers. Since quantum computers operate for 7 minutes, the fourth dimension is verified, 7 seconds. So the fourth-dimensional cube has every face of the cube kissing every opposite face. The appearance of the geometry of the gamma rays that appear over the galaxy follow an isotopic geometry according to this diamond grid of the fourth dimension, following a fractality, Sierpinski-like fractality. The fractality that is described in the ancient Vedas, but that's another story we cannot get into now. These cosmic rays and gamma rays pulsating into our solar system, a completely new material has come into our solar system that has changed the density of our solar system. This new cloud coming into the solar system contains exotic material with completely new radiations. Radiations from the heart of the atom. Radiations of the fifth force, the nuclear force, which can be described as the force of divine love. We'll go a lot into that tomorrow. In the meantime, the solar system, since the mid-1990s, has undergone a 60% increase in its plasma toroidal density. Our solar system has increased in its density. A new energy is pumping into our solar system, significantly transforming each of the planets. Some of these gamma ray bursts that appear to be intelligent have been modeled as extraterrestrial transmitting beacons. When they come in contact with the ionosphere, you get enormous amounts of energy escapes, that set of earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, and so forth, but also energizes the planet and switches on different genes. We will look very specifically at the ETI genes discovered in man tomorrow, and how from military films they are switching on in a new way and releasing a light body. One of our favorite things. So this is one of the articles that began the mystery of the galactic gamma ray internet. It is this galactic gamma ray internet that in 2012, as we will talk about on Sunday, we will link a global song of musicians into using the harmonics to communicate by these gamma rays, but in a musical form, linking the world, linking concerts, and linking the harmony of the body and the DNA. The gamma rays had never been seen in this form before. They were lasting for 90 minutes at a time. They were like spotlights, high energy beams of transfiguration. A complete mystery to the astrophysicists who could not account for what was going on. Suddenly they appeared, and they did go away. They became more and more. We have about 16 of these gamma ray bursts per month, strongly influencing our planet and us. This is not space out far away out there. This is the as above, so below, affecting everyone. It's affecting our hormones, the way that we operate. But that's another subject for tomorrow. The first of the new cosmic rays from this new universe were announced in 1991, and at that point they thought, once in 100 years, see one of these. But no, by 1994, every month, there were the bursts. With 4 × 10^19 electron volts plus possible energy coming from places where there's nothing. Vacuum places. Very similar to this enormous hole they've now announced on the 23rd of August, and they say it's a bump into another universe. They talk here about topological defects in the fourth dimension of space. They are the early models. And they would announce this is a whole new way of looking at the universe. The universe that we knew before is gone. It has. We're no longer the universe we used to think we were in, as we will hopefully show by the end of this slide. The gravitational constant of this planet is no longer constant since 1995. The basic foundation of gravity has transformed. So the cosmic rays have affected ozone holes, global warming, also the formation of a new magnetic field inside the Earth, while our magnetic field, the old one, is oscillating. Our solar system coming in conjunction with the galactic center, something we'll look at on Sunday, has registered a geometrical gravitational wave from the galactic center, which is broader in our solar system. It has a coherent golden geometry to it. This is one of the many observations, objective observations, of the influences that are affecting our solar system. In the meantime, since about 1996, we first discovered these in 1998, a series of objects have persistently remained by the Sun, many times bigger than the planet Earth. In the meantime, these have become quite famous. One book has been written by a German professor colleague of ours, Dr. Dieter Burrows, which documents the enormous influence and density of these objects that seem to be affecting our Sun in a major way. This itself is a whole story that can go on for 3 or 4 days, going through hundreds and hundreds of massive photographs. These objects do not go away. When they switch on, they have an enormous brightness, much brighter than our planet, like sunlight, and a high density of image. A density that affects gravity and space and time. In 1998, with our solar system conjuncted the galactic center, about the end of November 2012, our sun conjunction, our zodiacal planetary precession cycle, conjunction to Latin symbol.
Perfect conjunction for our solar system. Started in 1998. And from the region of the galactic center, a gamma ray came from Cygnus, the constellation of the swan, which the ancient Vedas called the swan of Brahma. The galactic center is called the Brahma Loka, or the Vishnu Navi. This swan was said to carry the great logos of our world. It is from the swan of Cygnus that a golden mean signal became pulsed directly into our thoughts, following this grid. Several different gamma ray and cosmic rays converged. This follows the Guruji sheet, the golden proportion, the proportion of the DNA, the proportion of heart at the moment of compassionate love, which will be the theme we'll look at tomorrow, the geometry of love in decoding the ETI, DNA, that makes us human. This ultra-high order energy pulsed into our solar system, changed our sun. Our sun acted like a parabolic dish that translated this high energy, released a solar flare that looked like an angel, changed the sound of the sun. The solar flare looks very peculiar, angel kinds of faces on it. And when it came in contact, when the hydrogen flux came in contact with Earth on December 25th, 1998, the rule of the ship, golden mean, the geometry of love, embedded itself in the magnetic fabric of our planet. According to the magnetometer readings of Tromso, this set off all over the planet a signal of extremely low frequency, also in the Guruji's hit. So you've got the highest energy translated through the sun into a magnetic field energy, and then translated to the lowest energy, where all over the planet a signal of 1.618 Hertz, these are the numbers of the Guruji's hit, appeared over the planet. And by 1999, this started happening daily, all over the planet. And by leaked intelligence reports from the military industrial complex, they found that these signals were acting on the DNA, were activating and creating a light phenomenology that was switching on cells, new cells, in all life, including mankind. So this we shall go into detail tomorrow. Very exciting theme. There is an objective evidence that we are undergoing a transfiguration inside from the macrocosmos, as above, so below. So that's for tomorrow. In the meantime, Jupiter, which has its great red spot at a geometrical point, and also absorbs infrared at a significant geometrical tetrahedral point. Remember, the gamma rays over the galaxy were 24 tetrahedrons to begin with. They became more complex since then. So tetrahedrons are part of a language of the alphabetics of order and the alphabetics of creation. Since mid-1990s, there's been a magnetic field doubling of Jupiter. In 2002, a dark spot appeared on the body of Jupiter on the North Pole. In 2003, another dark spot appeared. Massive aurora borealis, northern and southern lights, increasing year by year since the mid-1990s. The plasma clouds with over 200% increase in their brightness. Some extraordinary energy being pumped into the biggest planet. Major transformations of its moons. Its moon Io undergoing extraordinary flux tube transformations, electrical transformations. The ever-increasing plasma genesis that's occurring on Jupiter. through the coronal poles, just as when the sun has solar flares and releases these solar winds, Jupiter is beginning to become sun-like in terms of its ejections of high energy plasmagenesis. A new radiation belt in brightening the decimeter band of Jupiter. These are just a few summaries of the transformations, including its moon Ganymede, which is undergoing oxygen. On the north pole of Jupiter, where the dark spot appeared, you see a pentagonal and hexagonal geometry consistently in the films taken by the various probes, including Cassini, as it flew on to Saturn. The south pole has pentagonal harmonics in its geometry, which have remained persistent. Here you see some of the aurora activations, which have increased at Earth since the mid-1990s. The aurora activations surrounding this geometrical vortex of hexagons and pentagons. Any quick questions while we're driving the computer? No questions.
Just
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to know the weather system of that planet, because I was seeing it was a hexagonal weather system on that planet. Is possible that can happen on Earth too?
Yes. The various hurricanes show pentagonal, hexagonal geometries as the eye of the vortex. A lot of people thought that was weather engineering, but if you analyze the other planets, which seem to have this phenomenon going on now too, I don't think the military is playing with those planets. I don't think the boys with toys have that power. So this is a language of ordering, of geometry, something you see over the galaxy. In 2D, the geometry of the gamma rays that appeared would appear as hexagons. Examples of the vortexes colliding of the increasing brightness on Jupiter. 200% increase of brightness on its clouds. In just a few years, you will see the second black spot that appeared in 2003. We wonder about Arthur C. Clarke, who in a science fiction book, 2010, has such a black spot. So his prophetic nature was a little bit too far into the future. It was 2003, not 2010. There is a polygonal geometry to the aurora of Jupiter. The moon of Jupiter, the biggest moon, Ganymede, under its south pole has a hexagon formation, clear hexagon formation, and in the late 1990s, starting to grow a full-scale atmosphere of auroral brightening, green signature. This also suddenly appeared on Venus in 1999, it had never been there before. NASA states that our sun will undergo another pole shift in 2012, the sun has stopped being normal since the last pole shift. The sun is supposed to striptease, throw its clothing, and have a big outbreath every 12 years. And then it's supposed to become quiet, stillbirth. But after 2002, it didn't go into a quietness. It continued to eject high energy solar winds bombarding our planet with the strongest X-ray flux ever observed. So we're building up to something. Our solar system is in the middle of the galactic plane. We cleared the galactic plane in about 2021, and we will join it again in a few hundred years.
the sun has undergone massive transformation, 16% shrinkage in half a century. More activity in sunspot activity than in 1,150 years combined. That's increasing. So this started in the 1700s building up. Of course, we were not using benzene then. And the sun is undergoing this form of solar global warming. BP oil, Scott oil, Shell having stations on the sun. Also, the foundation of the sun is found to have multiple geometrical poles, sonic poles, rotating together with enormous energy, having an organized geometry of triangles. The same organized geometry that we find the gamma rays of the galaxy arranged in. That is the sonic poles discovered by the Ulysses probe in 1996 on the sun. So something is ordering the sun according to the order of the galactic new order of gamma rays. One sees enormous waves going across the sun that are geometrical, that follow phase conjugating waves, phase canceling waves, very important waves. In fact, when we heal, our body is releasing, our DNA is releasing eight cycles, phase conjugating waves. These are compassionate love waves, as we will explore in detail tomorrow. But on a macro level, after the millennium, these kind of waves have been found over the sun. Nocturnal like geometry appear regularly over the sun, especially preceding a massive global event. An enormous amount of energy being pumped into the sun, as these massive waves show, and as NASA has been documenting. Only in the last few years have they admitted. In articles, in mainstream journals, that something is being pumped into our sun and this is changing global warming of our planet. The geometry follows an octillion geometry, eight-dimensional geometry, which by a new science called hadronic mechanics has become a viable model for even how our physical reality operates. But we can't explain that now. Except on our website and in Vision magazine, you'll find links to hadronic mechanics. Hadronic mechanics changes everything. It unites spirit and matter into something way beyond any paradigm that we've had, something extraordinary. And to find octillion signature, eight-dimensional signatures operating on the Sun and Saturn, significant, never observed before. Uranus has undergone a massive growth of its magnetosphere intensity. Its brightness has increased by at least 40%. It's undergone a polar shift, hexagon formation on its pole. Enormous storms engulfing Uranus have been observed since the mid-1990s. The first flybys of Uranus showed it to be a quiet world. But then, the Hubble Space Telescope documents that it's undergoing now a dramatic global warming of energy inputs, global storms, lightning storms, and brightening as never seen before. In fact, if we look at the other planets of the solar system, Earth is suspiciously quiet. Suddenly, in 1999, astronomers discovered that on Venus, the planet of love, oxygen switches on. This is a planet that's supposed to have no oxygen at all. Suddenly, auroras, green auroras, with 2,500% increase in brightness appear. And they appear on very, very significant points that indicate a dimensionality beyond our present dimensionality, as we will briefly explore. These were photographed during the 70s by the Russians on the surface of Venus, in paradox to what NASA is telling us. But despite the so-called Venus gate in the research field, the new observations seen by scientists on Venus are amateur astronomers, and astronomers over the world have never seen this phenomenon. So it wasn't there in 1991. But in 1999, bingo, in 1 month, it switches on, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Something is transforming Venus into a life world. It's a great deal to explore Venus. These are a summary of 500 slides brought into 49 slides. So whatever goes on Venus continues to puzzle scientists. Every time they look, they seem to see something different. So the solid reality of astrophysics is suddenly becoming vanishingly small. The dogmatic church of astrophysics doesn't have a solid floor. The oxygen is coming from a very specific region of Venus, 19.5 degree latitude, and if you look there, there are odd symmetrical anomalies on the surface. And where they are appearing, there are these extraordinary gamma ray sprites. These are gamma ray signals coming out back into space from the planet Venus. So we've had gamma rays over the galaxy organized, and now Venus is sending gamma rays back out into space. And where it does that, you've got the oxygen signature appearing. And in the astrophysics of hyperdimensions that Sir Arthur Cayley, more than 100 years, developed, he suggested that if a spinning orb like a planet is connected to at least a fourth dimension, then you will see a tetrahedral like geometry apparent as energy phenomena on its surface. We've seen 24 tetrahedrons over the galaxy. Now, oxygen light appears on Venus at the tetrahedral vertex point of Venus, and it sends gamma rays back out into space, as if to say, gamma, gamma, we've got it. When one takes the model of the galactic gamma ray internet, or reality, reorchestrator, something synthesizing, resynthesizing the laws of nature, because nearly all of the laws of nature, as we have known them, are undergoing radical, radical revision, including the nature of food and what we are in terms of the living DNA. Tomorrow. These are the sprites that go out into space. They also appeared on planet Earth, late 1980s. Never observed before. Something switching on planet Earth. And according to the Scientific American, August 1997, these rings expand, in fact, faster than the speed of light. So let's slow down here a moment. Expand faster than the speed of light. Did Einstein say nothing about God, the God of light? If you go beyond the speed of light, you go beyond what esoterics would say is karma. Because cause and effect. Our face kissing, our making love, they're going into one another, so much into one another, that they go into a past, present, and future. In the last few years, this kind of post-karmic union has been found inside our DNA, my hadronic mechanics. There is something beyond the speed of light as a material operating in our DNA, and it's releasing gamma rays. That's all part of it.
You're coming.
So 24 tetrahedrons of the galaxy, organized, pulsed together like a time machine. And it travel at the speed of light from one side of the galaxy to the other, it takes 100,000 years. But when you've got all of these tetrahedrons phase conjugating, phase kissing, they are sharing each other's information, like the internet does. So like a hologram, so the information is non-linear. It is no longer local. It follows what is called this hyperdynamic, fourth dimensional, Feynman checking. We're actually using technicality as codes. Everything is in living images, but everything of living images can be documented. So a fractal dynamics, the dynamics of harmonic music that pulses from our DNA, that pulses from our heart and love, appears geometrically as the phenomenology of life on Venus, and a new signature of gamma rays on Earth, expanding faster than the speed of light, which the Columbia Space Shuttle astronauts filmed and were fascinated by the light shows. These faster than karma expanding rings, faster than 3D expanding rings, faster than reincarnation expanding rings, just to ring some bells there. These new globes, noctoluminescence as it's called, occurring by these gamma stripes, ever increasing year by year on the planet. This near the galactic center is the cosmic ray pulse galactic center here by the arrow or the carrier thing. Near the galactic center, the tsunami, some people believe ETI communicating beacon, transmits a cosmic ray, which triggers the tsunami. It triggers a new ring to appear around Uranus, which wasn't there before. At present, our solar system and planet is in a unique alignment to the galactic plane, which is geometrical, tetrahedrally geometrical. 60 degrees is a tetrahedral angle. So we're in a unique alignment. When that cosmic ray hit the planet, it activated a great circle of energy, which is coordinated by several different places. Sumatra is directly in that line of activation. This is the registered cosmic ray that induced the tsunami. So preceding this were sky spheres, plasma balls seen in India, China, in the Far East. There was a lot of mini earthquake activities and a lot of weather anomalies. It caused a series of electrical blackouts in Sweden. I don't know, here in Norway, I was in Europe lecturing. But it created power blackouts in different places and computer failures. These cosmic and gamma rays are increasing. We're going to see increasing failure of our electrical appliances by this. Which doesn't matter when our inner communication of love grows stronger. I don't know how much time I've got left here. 10 minutes. So we'll speed through this. Mars, massive global warming in a few years. Methane, ammonia has been announced. In other words, life on Mars has been announced in the major media, except using the terms methane, ammonia, formaldehyde, which means Mars has life in a 24-hour cycle. After that, it becomes methane and ammonia. Massive ozone growth appearing. At the equatorial zone, also a cloudy growth, melting of its ice caps in a very short period of time, as you can see, from October 1996 to March 1997, unprecedented global warming on Mars. Full gears to all four, cheers for the Nobel Prize. I'm not going to go into the politics. Just the jokes of the matter. The irony will iron itself out. Likewise, Mars has been engulfed by global storms in 2001. Mars has now come to be another colour to what we originally thought it was. Astronomers
develop powerful enough telescopes to see that NASA was lying to us. Mars was a blue sky. And in 2002, NASA said, terribly sorry, yes, we used the wrong filters. Our mistake. And you look at Mars with the right color filters, you see green. And you see vegetation. This, a lot of material we'll have to skip over. Very interesting material for another time. And Lilly Center will be presenting regular presentations in concert with Lilly, in concert with these themes, on the details of what is going on. Earth has undergone changes in time, 61 seconds in 1995. The gravitational field of Earth has undergone a massive transformation. So we have now actually 35 leap seconds of change since the 1970s on Earth. It's happening every few months, like the atomic clocks are being recalibrated. It's not 7 minutes like Saturn, which is phenomenal, but it's leap seconds. There is a new series of Allen radiation belts. There are energy impulses similar to those of suns appearing on the planet. And on the planet has appeared a change to the foundation of gravity. So what our planet was grounded in, the laws of gravity constants, in 1995, two universities, Utah and the University of Wuppertal, discovered that the gravitational constant was no longer constant. It was constantly different. That was the only constant. And its constant was different, constantly, on different registration points. And that has continued ever since. So we no longer have a standard universal gravitational constant. We're in a new universe since 1995. It's not just about 2012. We're right now in the shift. And tomorrow we will look how that shift is affecting our innermost processes of being human and coming to the culmination of our maximum potential through the foundation of our tools. Compassionate love as the geometry of the synthesis that welcomes us to the new universe. Welcome to the new universe.